Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
At Capella University, learning the right skills could make a difference. That's why our business programs teach you relevant skills you can take from the courseroom to the workplace. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, you may remember hearing my next guest back in August when he chatted about his book, Happy Economics. We're delighted to have him on. So he's returned to talk about a very important and interesting global workplace report, which was launched this week. It's great to welcome back Lord Mark Price, founder of employee happiness platform WorkL, former UK Trade Minister and former CEO of Waitrose. Good morning, Lord Mark. How are you?
Oh, Bobby, good morning, but please call me Mark.
Okay, Mark, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. It's a bit blowy today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we got some winds here as well. Listen, yeah, speaking of winds, tell me about this global workplace report that you commissioned. Firstly, it's done on the basis of quite a representative sample, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge sample, Bobby. So people come to Workle. And they take our Happy at Work test. So we had 1 million people over the last year come and take that test. And then we also work with 1,000 organisations around the world. We work with 70 businesses in Ireland, for instance. And so we use all of that data to pull together a global report. And it's a report on how employees feel all over the world. We've got data on 176 countries in this year's report. And the really good news, Bobby, there's always room for improvement, but let's start with the great stuff. The great stuff is that across the world, employees are happier in their jobs this last year, 2024, than they were the year before. So
okay,
a good step forward.
And do you get any insight as to why that's the case?
Yeah, we do. There are lots of reasons why people have improved. We measure six dimensions. We measure pay and recognition. We measure information that's shared with people. We measure how empowered people feel in their jobs. We measure their well-being. We measure their career development. We also measure how proud they are to work where they work. So we measure six dimensions. And as I say, the good news is across the vast majority of those, there were improvements over the year before. And that's the first time we've seen that for quite a few years. We've been on a slippery slope since 2021 for a number of reasons. But the turn of the corner was turned last year, and we're seeing improvements.
Okay. Great. Now, the tech sector remains the leader in employee engagement, while retail and hospitality rank among the lowest globally. No surprises here.
No. So the ones I draw out that are at the bottom, retail has, you know, pretty consistently been low. Defence was the lowest this year, and perhaps that's not surprising. Hospitality struggled and is struggling for workforce around the world. Health wasn't good. Health was down. So they came in 19th out of 26 sectors. There were some places where it's less good. The tech was good. We saw marketing go up, which was great. We saw management services. So sort of all those consultancies like businesses, they all improve this year. So, you know, as ever, some move up and some move down.
Right.
You're right to pull out retail, hospitality, health, and also the public sector didn't do well. They dropped down quite a bit.
Yeah. And so public services are getting worse, and they're being enabled by technology. If you've ever tried to ring a public service and try and deal with something, and you end up talking to a robot.
Well, that's never good, is it? I mean, particularly when you know you're speaking to a robot.
But you can't get to speak to a human. if you're trying to get something solved.
Yeah, you're pressing all the right buttons with me there, Bobby. I mean, when I ran Waitrose, I was very, very big on not having those self-checkouts and making sure that if you phoned up with a complaint, you spoke to a human. I mean, technology can do a lot, but, you know, when people are really frustrated and at the end of the tether, there's nothing better than having a person. But you need to support those people. So
yeah.
You know, we do see in our data that people in call centres actually, you know, they're not the happiest and perhaps they don't get the support that they need to do their jobs really well. But, I agree with the broad point you're making that if you really want some help, you want to speak to a person.
Let's talk about, because I'm fascinated by this, where this is actually ultimately going to land. Remote workers report higher levels of trust in management, likely because they feel more trusted in their roles. But would you say the same could be said for employers? Do they trust their employees?
Well, there's a big difference in the report that we pull out this year, and that's the scores that are given by managers as opposed to non-managers. And it's the biggest gap we've ever seen in doing these figures for 8 years. And on average, if you're a manager and you take the Work or Happy at Work test, you're scoring 74%. If you're non-management, you're scoring 66%. So there's an 8 percentage point gap between how managers feel and non-managers. And as I said, that gap's widening. And one of the reasons that we've seen is the whole working from home piece and flexibility, because it seems to be the case that managers have a greater degree of flexibility, whereas non-managers, perhaps they're working in the health sector or in retail or in hospitality, you know, they need to go in and serve customers. And so I think that the flexibility thing, the fact that it can be applied in some instances to managers, but then not to non-managers, that's creating a wider gap. And because of that, then there are a whole host of knock-on issues. So flexibility is a big reason why employees are feeling less good than managers at the moment around the world.
I don't know. I may have said this to you before, Mark, but like my view on this is that the genie is out of the bottle. So anybody who's been allowed to experience remote working never wants to go back, or they certainly don't want to go back to, you know, a full in the office experience. So with that being said, are we going to end up with a scenario in a few years' time where there'll be a clear disparity between people in the office and in their home around pay and ability for promotion? I think we will see that.
Yeah, I think we will. One of the reasons that people say that they're happy with remote working is they're not spending money on commute, or they're not, you know, buying lunch when they're in the city, etc. So there's no doubt that people who are working from home are better off and feel better off. But putting that to one side, what our research shows is that the happiest workforces are those that work flexibly. They have 2-3 days in the office and they have a couple of days at home where that's possible. I'd stress where that's possible. The next happiest group are those that work remotely, and the least happy are those that are dragged into the office every day. And I think that's pretty well set now, Bobby. The reason that that flexible model is working, and all our research says it's the most popular, is that you do need to have collaboration. You do want the social aspects of work, meeting up with people. And we find it particularly with younger people taking the survey. They are very concerned about their career development. They don't want to be left at home in their bedroom to develop themselves. You know, they want to learn. So younger people particularly are saying, you know, we want to collaborate. We want to socialize. We want to be developed. And all of that requires some element of time actually in the workplace. So I think that hybrid model, where it's possible, is going to end up being the most successful.
No, I think that's logical. And you're also seeing real evidence of companies now, Mark, you know, putting big incentives out there to get people in. Free pizzas on a Friday, you know, come to the office, guest speakers, whatever it takes, just to physically get people into that office.
Yeah, I think that's right. They are trying to think about what should the office environment be like. And I think that's pretty smart thinking. But, you know, contractually, people can be required to come into the office for for 3 days, and then if managers are flexible. One of the great misnomers is that people are somehow skiving when they're at home. And all of our research says that's not the case. What we see is that 8 out of 10 people actually do more, are more productive when they work from home. And that's because they haven't got a commute. They're not particularly clock watching. 2 out of 10 are. But then they're probably the 2 out of 10 who are in the office and, you know, weren't perhaps doing as much as they could be doing. So productivity is not an issue not to do this. But there is some things about around, as I say, collaboration, learning, developing, socializing. All of those things are important in the office, which is why I think a blend's going to be the best solution for those people who are office-based.
And the correlation then between a happy workforce and, you know, productivity, profitability, you're still of the view that there's a clear link in that regard.
Oh, definitely. I mean, before I set up Workall, I, as you said in the introduction, I ran Waitrose for 10 years and I was trade minister in the UK. And so I spend a lot of time looking at the link between how employees feel, how happy they are, and productivity. And in my book, Happy Economics, I set out all the research that conclusively proves it. In every single sector, there is a correlation between those organizations that have happy, content workers and those that don't. You know, they outperform where they have happier workers. And again, in the book, I set out what it is that we measure and why that's important and how that does drive employees to go the extra mile to give more. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm absolutely of the view, Bobby, that if you think about the well-being of your people, the happiness of your people in the way that I've defined it, so not necessarily, you know, pizzas on a Friday night, but, you know, are you paying them fairly? Are you recognizing them when they do well? Are you giving them the right information, et cetera, then that drives improved performance from employees.
Okay.
And on around the world.
And on that happy note, we'll leave it there. Mark Price, author of Happy Economics. Thanks as always for joining us today, Mark.
Great to speak to you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.